Right, I'm going to make an assumption now that at about 10 to 8 on Christmas Eve, you are all done with your Christmas shopping. Okay? The fact that nobody got up screaming and running out the door suggests that's a fair assumption. Okay, so can I just encourage you to have a moment of, it's all done now. There's nothing more you can do. You've got presents for those you've got presents for. You haven't got presents for those you haven't got presents for. Now's the moment to just kind of let it all roll out and see what happens. It's a nice feeling, isn't it? Just that, nothing more I can do. But into that moment and into that feeling, I want to ask you a question that might make you a little bit uncomfortable. Do you think you've been generous this year? When you think about the presents you've given, do you think you've been generous? Now, I don't ask you that to make you feel bad or to make you feel really good. I ask it because I don't think it's a question we actually think about or ask very often. I certainly never thought about it until a few years ago when I was doing an Advent challenge. I don't know if you've ever seen these before, but charities sometimes do them as a way to kind of prepare yourself for Christmas. They send out a daily email with a challenge for you. So it might be something like, say Merry Christmas to a stranger. All right, so something simple that kind of gets you ready for Christmas. Now, on this particular day, I was going in Southampton to buy some presents for my wife, because I'm a good husband. All right, that was my wife. Just before I went there, I checked my phone, I had a look at the email, and the email for the day, the challenge for the day was, today, be extravagantly generous. I don't know how she did it, but no, she didn't. Be extravagantly generous. So I went into Southampton and I went to Pandora, which, if you don't know, is a shop that sells ridiculously expensive little beads that aren't worth it. And so I was there and I bought one and I thought, I heard a voice in my head that said, be extravagantly generous today. And so I thought, I know what I'll do. I'll buy two. So I bought two and walked out of the shop feeling really smug, thinking, yeah, I've done this. But halfway to John Lewis, and not very far, this feeling of unease kind of settled me. I kind of thought, can I really tick off extravagantly generous because I bought two of these things? I had a bit of an existential crisis in this moment. I was thinking, what does it mean to be generous then? Is it just shoving another thing in the basket and paying for it? What does it actually mean to be generous? What are the means by which we measure generosity? All of this before I reached John Lewis. And so I'd love to tell you at this moment, I thought, right, no, what I'm going to do, I'll spend the rest of the day going around Southampton and buying as much as I can so everybody who hears will know I've been extravagantly generous. But I went a different way with it. I went back to Pandora and took one back. Because I didn't want to just buy something. I wanted to really know what being generous was. And this Christmas season, we at church here have been looking at the Christmas story through the lens of generosity. And the story is a masterclass in generosity. And what we see in this and through other things is that the generosity, the measure of it, isn't perhaps the money we spend. It's about what we have to sacrifice to give. That's the true measure of generosity. It's what it truly costs us. That could be money, but what it costs us to give that gift, that is the measure of generosity. And when we look at the Christmas story through those eyes, we see that is the case. We take the wise men, who obviously we're going to go to first, because this is the most obvious, isn't it? They generously gave gifts. But these men, they gave gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Yes, these things were expensive, but these men were wealthy. You could argue they weren't generous because they didn't give a lot in their sense. They didn't give, didn't have to sacrifice much to give those things. But we learn that those men were generous because they brought those gifts. You know, they had to travel a long distance, leave their comfortable home, sacrifice their comfortable life to travel many months, maybe even longer, to find the child and bring these gifts. That was their sacrifice. That was the cost. That was generosity. When we come to look at the shepherds, these poverty-stricken outcasts on the hillside, they don't bring anything to the baby. Sometimes we sing they bring a lamb, but there's no evidence of that. They seem to bring nothing. Yet these men were generous because they left their livelihood on the hillside. They sacrificed their jobs, their paycheck, their food perhaps, on the hillside, left it for wolves and lions and thieves to take in order to come and see the baby. That was generosity. Mary and Joseph, again, poor people, not much to their name. They give up their reputation, their future, in order to bring up this child. That's generosity. Now, I don't know about you, but this leads me to another question. Why? Why would these people be so generous? Why would these people give so much? We have the benefit of looking back, and Mary and a few others at this time definitely would have realized it's because in this story, the most generous, the most lavish gift was the one that God gave, his own son, Jesus. He sacrificed having Jesus at his side in order to give him to us so that we might know what life in all its fullness looks like, so we might know how to have a relationship with God, so that we might have a wonderful counselor and a prince of peace. This was the lavish generosity at Christmas. Have you been generous this year? I have no doubt that you truly have been. To your family, to your friends. And in some way, we've mirrored the generosity that God has given to us through his son, Jesus. Before I finish, I want to share with you one more story. One story that I read about recently that I just think, I love it because, believe me, you'll want it to happen to you. All right, so it's a true story about two guys who were living in New York, and it wasn't that long ago. I don't know if you know much about New York real estate. Why would you? But it's a bit like London. You can't really afford to live anywhere. So these guys pulled their money together and sought to buy a run-down, ramshackle old bungalow kind of out of Manhattan, obviously. It's a bungalow sitting in the middle of Manhattan, but out in the sticks. They were buying it off a family, and this family had had this house left to them by their uncle, who was an artist. I think you can already see where this is going. He was a graphic artist, done a few comic books. His name was Arthur something. I can't remember. It was Remingen or something. Anyway, the guys went in. They saw it. It was a mess. It was still full of all the stuff. It had obviously been left to these family, and they didn't want it. And they went into the garage, and there was loads of paintings. They said to the family, are you going to clear this before we kind of purchase it? And the family went, no. You can have all the appliances. You can have everything, even the art in the garage, just for an extra $2,500. So the guys, thinking, yeah, cooker, that's good. They bought this bungalow as is, with everything inside it. Sure enough, these guys took one of the pieces of art and had a look at it, thought they'd better get rid of some of it because there was loads of it. They went and had it valued, and it was worth $30 million. And just imagine that moment where they suddenly discover this stuff they bought for $2,500 is suddenly worth $30 million. They're set up for life. I mean, we all want that to happen, don't we? To find a gift, to find a thing we've got that is worth that sort of money. But let's take a moment and spare a thought for that family who sold this gift that was given to them by their uncle for a pittance of what it was worth. This Christmas, I just encourage you, if you haven't opened the generous gift that God has given you in Jesus, if you haven't discovered what it is to have a wonderful counselor, a prince of peace, a life in all its fullness, then I urge you to open the gift that God has generously given in his son. Let's just pray. Oh, Father, we thank you for sending your son at Christmas. We thank you for your lavish generosity that we can never hope to match. We thank you that you gave your son for us so that we might know what you look like, so that we might know who you are, so that we might have life in all its fullness and someone to lead us out of our darkness and comfort us. We pray this Christmas, in amongst all the celebrating, we would be generous as you were generous, and we would open the gift you have given to us. Amen.